Got mine up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Pretty bird.
I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew, your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true, your touch is cold and distant.
Welcome to What the Flock. I am Pretty Bird, and you just heard a wonderful song by our very own Jay Hatter with the musical stylings of Shall Even Shy. So we are a team of voices, a group that can be found on allpoetry.com, the world's largest online poetry site. It is free to join, so if you like what you hear, you're interested in writing, or you just like to hear other people talk, feel free to come and join us. It is free to join up, free to find us, free to listen, so, you know, you can't ask for a better deal than that. So let's say hello to Rack and Tour. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And our very own lyricist, Jay Hatter. Say hello, hello.
I unmuted. I'm early.
So today we are talking about longing, and I'm longing for a good cannoli because I live in the sticks of Florida swampland, and you can't find a decent cannoli anywhere. So I'm longing for a lot of things, you know. So it can be any kind of longing, and so before we get into our show proper, I'm going to put up your poem, the lyrics to that song you just heard, and because that's very, very kind of longing. And I love this. because there's a longing for truth, a longing for freedom, a longing for it to be real. And it's just so multifaceted in all the things that you thought it was or hoped it would be, and it turns out it's not. And it's not that there's a lack of affection. It's that it's just not where it needs to be, where it once was, where it could be. And it doesn't look like they are able to just say goodbye and give you your freedom. Because I know that feeling of when things aren't where they were, the place where you fell in love. And, you know, when it's one side that's still there and still hoping to work it out and the other side really isn't, and yet they're not the ones that want to say goodbye so that you could be the bad guy, it's not a good place to be. And I'm sure that I'm interpreting that wrong, but I love this song. I absolutely do. And depending on the mood I listen to it, it just feels like something else because it's just multifaceted. So Hatter, tell us a bit about your lyrics.
Of the song?
Yes.
Or the one of the song that we heard? Yeah, I reached down to personal feelings, personal event to write it. Especially the you didn't. Why can't you just say goodbye? You know, instead of keeping things hanging. That's
yeah,
what it was based on. I'm sure most people have felt that.
Yeah, where it is past its prime and it is just dragging because, you know, it's not, nobody really wants to be the bad guy, but if you're not happy, you're not happy. And when one is in it more than the other, you know, they're not going to leave. I'm usually the one that's in it more because, you know, I don't know how to half-ass a heart, you know? So,
yeah.
I'm like, can you just be a little kind and say yay or nay, either be all in or all out? So I absolutely can understand that. Oh, my goodness. I am longing for decent air conditioning because mine is dying and it's not okay.
You and me both, yeah.
So what does the word longing say to you?
To me?
Like what's the first thing that pops up?
I think there's two levels of that. You know, you can urge and want the desire to go fishing, but that's nothing like the urge to love again or to ask a question, why not the 15 minutes of uncomfortable 15 minutes of your life to say goodbye? Just do it. Don't.
There's something to be said for longing for release.
Right. Yeah, everybody's got the right to be happy. Everybody's got the right to be happy. But if you fall out of love you're not where you thought you were going to be, you've got to take the initiative to be honest. You can't just leave, walk away, and you go, what the frick happened?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
I mean, if there was anything there at all, the respect of a simple conversation should be nothing.
Well, yeah.
You know?
I mean, you got to say goodbye. You got to have that conversation. Yeah, you got to be able to say goodbye.
Yeah. Absolutely. I believe, is this you, Sky?
I'm here.
Okay. Yay! I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So how long
for an hour? I'm here for an hour.
No, I am not good at telling you need to leave. So, you know, warning you now.
Those are the words you can't say.
So, oh my goodness. So, I'm posing the question to all of you. Hatter said what longing brings to mind for him. What about you two?
There's a certain special kind of hell involved with that because it's not just, you know, the desire that you're talking about. There's that underlying feeling sometimes of, you know, that you don't deserve something. It's like you want it, but you feel like you can't have it or you don't deserve it. So you struggle with that idea. So you have to convince yourself that you can have it. In addition to you know, the fact that it's not there, you know, you kind of argue with why. It's one of those things. I don't know. It should be really easy to fulfill. Like you said, you know, you want that damn cannoli. Well, why can't I just open up the refrigerator and get one? Because it's not there. You know, that's a different kind of feeling. But, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, well, it's there, but I don't think I should have it because, you know, my diet, my diabetes, my this, my that, my the other. So, you know, you got to wrestle with the justification and whatnot. It's a mess. It's a mess. I'm not good with longing.
Those pesky emotions, gosh darn it. And Sky, what does longing bring forth to you? Like, what do you think of when you hear that word?
Oh, there's so many things. I think there's wow, that's a loaded question. I think there's a bit of longing every day. I think there's a little bit of longing every day. I mean, you could have a longing of when you're thinking about memories and when you're thinking of the past and you're saying, oh, I long for these days gone by or this feeling, this emotion or this moment in time. People that have passed away, people that have gone through your life and have exited. Again, there, you know, to echo what Rax says, those things we long for, but we know we have to have in moderation, or maybe that aren't good for us at all.
I know people
and then,
like
of course,
that.
There's a, and then, you know, so I think there's lots of past longing, present longing, and then as well as future longing, those things that we want. In life, all those things that we are strive for or perhaps put away and we think can no longer be attainable, and yet we still long for them. So I think it is just something that in the cracks and crevices of every day in your mind, personally, maybe I'm just a person who longs for a lot of things, but...
Oh, no. I'm right there with you. I long for a decent night's sleep because I don't even know what that looks like these days. But, yeah. But, you know,
there's a lot of...
Go ahead.
I think there's a lot of longing and urges when you have your first kid. Like
you know, I'm going to show you what kind of a crappy mom I am. It took me. Now, I have four kids, and I eventually got over it. But I was married 3 months before I got pregnant, and they were the best 3 months because they say that it's a marriage license is just a piece of paper, and you know I feel bad for them. There's a certain amount of freedom that comes with knowing that you're kind of bonded to work through whatever obstacles come. That it's the extra, as you know, there's no, you don't ever have to worry about getting into an argument and having them leave because that's not how that works, you know? So
that's
how it works.
Yeah, marriage license is more than a piece of paper for sure.
If you don't think it is,
don't get married. You're giving yourself one out. Yeah.
That's true. So, and I don't believe in that. I to the point where I'm a really bad Catholic, but I would not get married unless it was in a Catholic church, because if it didn't qualify for annulment, you're not getting a divorce. So that's my old-fashioned mindset. But when it comes to parenthood, I was married for 3 months of absolute, I can go on day trips, road trips, go here, go there, drive up to Disney, do whatever the heck I wanted to. And then I, you know, popped out a kid, and while I absolutely, you know, loved him with all of my heart, there was no freedom. I was tied to that. I was breastfeeding, and they don't warn you that you're going to feel like the only ball and chain in your life is that child that's like stuck to your boob. And so it took me a really long time to acclimate to that loss of freedom. I had to go through a mourning period of not being able to do what I want when I want. So like I felt like I had like 3 full months of actual adulthood, because everything up until then was practice. And then I was like, woohoo. And then I had a kid. And so I longed for that freedom. I there's a, Yeah, I'm gonna hang up on you. I longed with a crying baby. That is not okay. I longed for that freedom for I don't know, almost a year, because it took me a good, you know, 3 or 4 months to get out of my, you know, oh, look at the baby mode. And then I was just like, oh, damn it. It's always crappy diapers. What the hell have I done to myself? And so it took me a long time. So, you know, you long for things you don't ever expect to long for, because never in my life until I was holding that baby did I ever think that it would feel like a hindrance of any kind, you know, because it's all love. But, oh, no, I am that mother that was just like, well, this sucks. All right. I love you anyway. Fine. So it's interesting throughout the course of a lifetime for things that you long for. I have anxiety. It is no secret. I have anxiety, like bad anxiety. And there used to be this game that I used to just be able to play. It's like Piano Tiles 2 for hours on end. And I can have one earbud in and have a conversation and just play and play and play for hours on end, and it would completely calm me down. Because it takes so much room in your brain with your hand-eye coordination, but no actual thought, that it was like a separate thing for me. It's like, oh, my gosh, I think my brain is broken because that's not supposed to happen. But anyway, and then apparently there was like spyware in one of the company's other apps. And so they canceled all of their games in Google Play, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And so no more free Xanax. And so I found my old phone, and it does not hold a charge. It has to be plugged in or it does not work. And what's on there? This game that no longer exists. So I was just like, woohoo! And so I have to sit there attached to my little short cord to play this game just so that I can like be like, oh, this is what it used to be like. So, you know, there's things that you don't realize you're longing for until you notice that they're missing. You know, so I kind of loved the concept of longing. And when it comes to, and I use longing instead of yearning or things like that, because it has a wider umbrella of things that are not emotion based. But I threw this up here because it hit me all at once, like a week ago, all at once. Every person that has ever passed through my life, whether they are dead, whether life just, you know, put us across the globe from each other, whether they disappeared, a lot of people disappear on me. It just hit me all at once. And, you know, when you think about one or the other or this time of your life or that time of your life, and whether it's your own fault or their fault or no fault, it doesn't matter. There's always people that ebb and flow, you know, season or reason or a lifetime. People just ebb and flow throughout your life. It happens. But when, by some fluke of broken brain, they pile in line together all at the same time, it was like a kick in the chest of how many people that I still think of as family, I don't see. I don't know where they are. I haven't spoken to, and it just kicked me in the gut. Because, you know, normally it's, oh, something reminds me of this one or something reminds me of that one, a little bits here, like sprinkles, but this was the whole ice cream cone. It was not okay. So this is, you know, it. Now, I personally prefer – go ahead.
It's like you long for familiar things when you find yourself in that with that feeling. It's like you feel empty. You feel
– it's very much that kind of hollowness, yes. And the problem is it's you can get – buried behind it when it hits you like that in mass. So that's not okay. But I much prefer like a passionate yearning, because I can live in that place, not on this show, but I can live in that place. But I wanted to make sure that I encompassed everything, because not for nothing, I seriously have not had like a decent cannoli in like 13 years. It is not okay. I live in the land of swamp people, and apparently they're not Italian. So, you know, I have like public, like supermarket attempts at their bakery making cannolis, and they're, you know, a passable cannoli, I guess. But if y'all have ever had an Italian grandma making a cannoli, you will know that it's not up to snuff. So. I'm making myself hungry. So I am going to go ahead.
No, I would just say I had the same thing with my grandma. Would take turns. My brothers and sisters spending the weekend with my grandma. The best time was when she would make homemade raisin bread. The house would fill with the smell. It's just like, oh man.
For my mom, it was bread pudding.
Oh, so
great. I'm not a fan of most bread puddings, but my mom's bread pudding, I would eat the whole gosh darn thing. I'm like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just give me the bread pudding. It's okay.
Yeah.
I just want
to walk into my parents' house again, smell the turkey on Christmas morning. My mom gets the turkey. She didn't do one turkey. She did two turkeys because my family was, you know, we had five boys. But the smell, you know, was just, it's so imprinted. It hasn't happened in so many years.
Yeah,
and
it's not just the turkey. It's that specific mix of seasonings and love that smells like home, because you know not every apple pie smells the same, even though it's all the same ingredients. It's very odd, but it's interesting how very particular odors are and how they enmesh themselves in your emotions, and they're very what's the word I'm looking for? It's got this very fine discernment, and it's amazing because I can sit there and smell popcorn at the fair, and it doesn't smell like popcorn in the movies, and this movie theater doesn't smell like that movie theater. But when you catch one that rings all the right bells, it brings you back to wherever it was that you smelled it the most, and I love that.
Smell is the strongest sense to create nostalgic.
It's very much enmeshed in your brain. It's awesome. So I put Heavenly Angel on the board. So I'm going to go ahead and read her. Well, I would put you on the spot, Sky, but I'm nice, so I won't do that today. So I will go ahead and read Heavenly Angel.
I can read Angel on the spot.
Okay.
Just so you know, I don't mind. So you can go ahead.
All right. No. I would prefer you have to be reading Sweet later. So if you want to read Angel. That'll be awesome.
Oh, I see mine.
Yeah, I don't mind.
That's because that was the song that we discussed.
Oh.
All right.
Hey,
yeah.
And as always,
I sent you an inbox in the middle of your show because I'm terrible. This is called No More Weekend Warrior by Heavenly Angel. Look over yonder. What do you see? The sun is arising, most definitely. I think we're alone now. All is still and quiet. It's Friday, and there doesn't seem to be anyone around. I just wonder, what would they say if they ever knew how much I came to depend on the weekends with you? We got to get together now. I can't take it no more. They don't understand how I miss you, how lost my muse feels without its inspiration. The Friday night morn is not the morn. My mind is burning inside me. The words are tumbling over themselves, waiting to be released. I mingle with your flowing ink. I was the crimson in your clover. You were the clover, my crimson. Now you fade to black.
Oh, that is awesome. And it's funny because you started reading and I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, this is a song and that's a song. And I'm like, I'm crazy. And then I go to her author's notes. I'm like, oh, there's songs. Yay. And because, you know, I'm so used to getting things. Yeah. I'm so used to skirting a thing or getting the edge of something and never getting the full thing because my mind takes me sideways. I was so excited. And she did a great job of putting this all together. We got to get together now. I can't take it anymore. They don't understand how I miss you, you know, and that is something that I find is human nature. Everybody has missed somebody sometime. You don't go through even your first year of life without missing your mama or somebody. Everybody's missed somebody, but because love and attachment are such a personal thing. Mine may not feel like yours, may not feel like theirs. It's all different into different levels. And they don't understand how I miss you. is such a powerful statement and such a beautiful understanding of the subtleties of human design, because even between two people that are missing each other, you never know. And you know what I mean? You never know if this one's willing to die for you like you're willing to die for them, you know, in extreme measures and whatnot. And I love that line. I do. And you know me in music, so I am all, you know, still with the earworm of there doesn't seem to be anyone around. So I'm right there with you, Hatter. So Hatter, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's nobody understands when it's you. You don't understand. Well, of course, we all do. It's just the level of loss or anxiety that it brings. Some people would melt down, and other people just get busy and try not to think about things. But we all know. We all know.
This is true. And Raconteur, what are your thoughts on Angel's Peace?
Yeah, I got hit hard with a lot of those song titles. you said it, and I wanted to break into song. So once Sky read it, this is beautiful sentiments laced together. And the idea of the the personalization of a relationship, what somebody means to you, you know, it's not always obvious, like you say. So, you know, nobody really knows what somebody really means to you. That's kind of something that is sometimes, you know, it's evident in someone's face and you could see them light up when they see each other across the room and whatnot. But sometimes, you know, you just don't know, you know, it's just one of those things that's between the two of you and isn't exactly broadcast by design or by accident, you know, or just by happenstance. So, you know, it's a beautiful way to kind of talk about a relationship and what somebody really means to you.
Absolutely. And Sky, you read it. What are your thoughts?
You know, Heavenly Angel does a great job kind of intermingling different songs, and I was right there with Raconteur. I think we're alone now. I really love that song. I started kind of going right into it, but I think it's interesting how she puts her own words into it so that it kind of alters the meaning that you always thought it had with the song lyrics, but intermingling different songs like Fade Into Black and of course Cyndi Lauper. I wouldn't have put the two together, but the way that she reads the story, it patents out quite well. And I think it's an interesting way to write and cleverly done with changing. I mean, it's really hard to change something so ingrained in our mind to have like a different outlook. And she does that well. Well done.
Not just that, but if I have, like if there's a contest or something and I have to use a specific song lyric, it is the hardest thing on the face of the planet to not then want to write to the rhythm of those lyrics. And and she absolutely commanded her pen with this wonderful flow of ink. And let's say hello to, I believe this is Adam, yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. So I have asked everyone, what does longing, like when you saw longing, what did that, what first popped into your head?
And I was going to say something smart alecky, but that's not really me. Something that you just crave inexplicably that cannot be really necessarily ever dealt with. Perhaps. I mean, it really conjures a lot of different images in my mind and feelings. So it's a wide array of things.
It absolutely is. An all multifaceted human nature. So I feel you. I have put Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, up on the board, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'm going to go ahead and hit play, and let's see where longing takes him.
Mm-hmm. If you only knew how much I miss your tender smile and slender grace, the resplendence of your beautiful eyes, I can't seem to forget. The way you talk and whisper into my eager ears words of love. But it seems now all I have are the memories that are stronger by the day. Memories that don't fade away into the shade of forgetfulness. A time when I try to move on with the days of passing light. I still look for you in the moonlight of the serene night, hoping to see the image of your exotic glisten. You are the only thing that means so much to me, the sensual lover that is my rapture in romantic verse, the woman that fills my heart with boundless joy and laughter, where the butterflies ever roam, for I just want to fly upon your wings. We could roam upon the endless mazes of jasmines together until we slept within the purity of their fresh fragrance in each other's arm and in the mist of the clouds above. Tell me if you want the same thing, then what are you waiting for? Iré al fin del mundo para buscarte, navegar por mar y tierra, día y noche, hasta encontrarte con tu sonrisa, y me dices, nunca he dejado de amarte. I'll go to the end of the world to look for you, navigate sea and land, day and night, until I find you with your smile, and you say, I've never stopped loving you. I've never stopped loving you.
Well, that is definitely longing. There is, and for those who don't speak Spanish, that last English verse is exactly a translation of the verse that he said in Spanish. The I'll go to the ends of the world to look for you, which is a beautiful notion, by the way, that and that is quite fervent longing if you are going to go, you know, land and sea, day and night, all around the world, because just to find this person again. I mean, that's serious longing. Up here at the top, the resplendence of your beautiful eyes, I can't seem to forget. I there's something about that word, resplendence, you know, anything resplendent, just it's a very visual, very visceral, very ethereal kind of shine. And I absolutely love that, you know, eyes so beautifully bright, and you know what makes eyes dance, it's all, you know, your heart. It has something to do with what they actually look like. And and I love how they burn themselves into that memory. And there's something that he says here at the end of that verse, all I have are the memories that are stronger day by day. I envy that, because for me, a lot of times, the more I use my memory, the more it wants to get, you know, lose the edges and things get blurred. It's like I only have so many replays in my head, and then, you know, and then once you don't think about it for a while, it comes back nice and vibrant. But seriously, I can wear a memory out. It is not okay. There's like something unfortunately mental about the way I can do that. But this was an excellent longing when all you want to hear is I never stop loving you. And but then it's a heartbreaking thing when you've got a love here and a love thousands of unknown miles away, and you know, timing isn't right. It's a sad state of affairs. So Rock and Tour, what are your thoughts on Frank's poem?
When you say I'll go to the ends of the earth, you know, I think of New Jersey. So that's kind of why I wound up over here. But the poem itself, I think, you know, it's got, you know, that beautiful sentiment of being connected to someone, you know, the being drawn to someone, that whole idea of, you know, two people meant to be together. Some people don't believe in fate, but, you know, then you know, that feeling can overcome you, and kind of make you just feel like, you know, the whole rest of the world falls away and that's all that there is.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my takeaway.
And that a lovely takeaway it is. And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is just dripping and just poetic masterfulness. I don't know. I just love it. I love, you know, she's basically, I mean, I feel like she's real, but also a dream to him. And it's a, very well is, you know, him saying that one of a lifetime love. And I just, I love the last stanza. I love that he does it and he reads it in, what is it, Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. And then, you know, his English translation. That's my favorite stanza just because I'm a sucker for it. And I love the idea that someone, you know, would be willing to go as far as it took for what they believed was the truest love that they could have, you know, or be a part of or conjoined with, whatever, what have you. And so everything leading up to that was just absolutely brilliant. And I loved so many of the lines. And just that last stanza really spoke to me, though.
It's something to be longed for that way, you know. One day I might find out, who knows. And Hatter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Frank hit it on the head, man, with this one. I think this is one of his best. It brought that feeling of, you know, I'll always love you. And the emptiness that comes after that. And,
absolutely.
Very good.
And is anybody else hearing that echo?
Echo, yeah. Somebody's got another tab open or something, yeah.
It is playing somewhere,
yeah.
And it's messing with my technology. Not okay.
You know what?
I bet it's Sky.
You see that?
No, it's on mute. I always mute myself. But you're
no, because, you know, your name echoes, you know? So if you could comment on Frank, Sky, and then I put you up on the board.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought it was great. The memories don't fade away in the state of forgetful time when I try to move on. In the days of passing light, I can look for you in the moonlight, hoping to see the image of exotic wisdom. I'm your exotic wisdom. I really love that stanza because I think it does speak of longing and love and how sometimes, even when you put someone behind you, it only takes a moment for that forgetfulness to come back full bolt. And I think you know, that's present in that word and can be felt by the reader. And I think we all can kind of feel that too, have experienced that. Really well done, Frank.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And you are up there and I can't wait to hear you.
All right, this is like love and bitterness and longing all in one. Here you go. Between long pauses and insecure walls. She liked silver starlight, golden red garlands wrapped around a pale heart, plastic ribbons filled with pages. She sprouted commercial promises with bits of false direction, and I believed her. I convinced myself of things I wanted to believe. I loved a lot. And when she looked in mirrors, braiding herself between each spine, taking measure of insecurity, she counted doubts like pinpricks on fingers, an index of all the reasons why even the tide wasn't enough. She became rusty and shattered. I could do nothing but grasp her, trying to polish all those tarnished pieces, a stranger called lover, pillowed between breast and palm. But when that lie became too great, I was placed on shelves, mantled with cracked novelties, a crash of waves resounding in a glass globe, perched on the wooden box of her heart's design, unshaken and once loved, and was it hollow, like one might suppose? No, it was not. It was set with pin and revolving cylinders, plucking the tuned teeth of vellum, the unremitted drum of ink and poetry. As I spun within that sphere, nailed to its surface, unable to step farther or journey past, like on Christian Andersen's paper ballerina. But she stayed deaf to its flight, and there I waited for her polite to tap dance in the corners of her mind, till she grew wet with sobs, those hammering glass windows she always stowed behind, till I lifted heavy timbered frames, let her stay a while, lie naked in my chest, till the sun changed and she felt my warmth. But that poison always woke, those words, fit with good intention, taken back when a semblance of hope crept in. It is then I remember, in a swirl of repeat, I only greet her from above, when she feels fit to place key and wind ratchet levers, to coil the spring beneath motor hums, the once that ones that selflessly recite to her all the things she longs to hear. I've always been happy to place myself in that box, between long pauses and insecure walls, those smiles in the dark, those lies within your eyes. But I find I am starting to be slower, finding the dust gathered in all those gaping spaces is more damaging than I thought, that even friend is a word you don't quite understand. And
oh, girly, 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 girly.
I just cannot with the way you write. You make me feel like a fraud, woman. Okay. So, I love this. There is a very palpable longing in the gentleness of your words. She counted doubts like pinpricks on fingers, an index of all the reason why even the tide wasn't enough. She became rusty in shadows. I could do nothing but grasp for her. Oh, 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 oh. I cannot even. You break my heart every time. And there isn't any part of this that isn't beautiful, you know? But she stayed deaf to plights, and there I waited for light to tap dance in the corners of her mind till she grew wet with sobs. You know, there's... It's heartbreaking. It's just fully just heart-wrenching because when you feel so much and you're waiting for them to realize that you know, they miss you or that, you know, anything, it's a little bit of hope and a whole lot of bitter, and it's heartbreaking. And you just are, you are Sky. Nobody can be you. You're fabulous. So, Raconteur, you are very welcome.
Yes, she is Sky, and we can only reach for it. I mean, wow, there's so much in this that could be read into it between the lines, and just, you know, one of the things that comes through, I think, is the longing for understanding. That's part of the glue, I think, that holds a relationship together. And that sounds like, you know, the biggest thing that's missing. But, you know, there's a lot more to it than just that. You know, it's not as simple as just that. And, you know, consideration there's so much feeling in this that you know, every time you turn around, you kind of get hit with it. Recognition, appreciation, that there's... It's almost like, you know, as close to being ignored and seen and unseen as you can get, you know, and you know, and you're just sitting there and kind of vying for that attention. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Isn't it though? And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it read really well. The part where I've always been happy to place myself in that box, it's like you allow yourself to sort of retreat and retreat and go through your own suffering. You put yourself in the box to not punish yourself, but you don't. It's like you don't want or can't allow yourself to be happy, to even search to be happy. So you put it in a box just to suffer and don't want anybody to witness it. Yeah, I think it's a great parallel metaphor for that. Good job, Sky.
Thank you.
You know, I can't write or say that word anymore without echoing.
That is
people look at me weird, yeah.
And Adam, I know that you dropped for a minute. Were you able to listen to the poem?
I hardly heard it when I read through it just now as everybody was speaking. Just, I wish I had heard it from the top. I don't know if I would have made it. This makes me, I don't know how to say it. Well, I guess that's a place to go. Yeah, she's an inspiration. Sky is just a marvel of a writer. That's not where I was going, Rackley, yes. No, this makes me really upset at the other person. I feel like, how dare, like, I don't really know you well enough to be like, oh, I'll get upset for you or anything. But it's like, my God, you're doing everything and then some. And it's just, they're just so fake. And you don't even, and it's like you want to allow yourself to see their fakeness. You know, because you want to believe in the beauty that is in all things, and even fake people are beautiful and all this stuff. But even from the top, you realize, like, you know, I mean, there's a certain fakeness to her that it's okay, and it's not really going to. But then as we go, it's like, man, I've become bitter in the fact that, like, you keep just giving and giving and giving all this love and belief, and it's just a poison, and it's just a poison to your being. As eloquently and as beautifully as you say how much, you know, it goes on about, you know, how much they mean. It's like, I feel so awful. Like, into, you know, it's like, oh my God.
And that is some powerful poetry. I mean, if you're pissing people off, that's guy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You deserve better than that, for sure.
Yeah. It's been a while. This is an older. It says a year ago, but this is a much older piece. We've moved on since then. But
thank God.
It was a person.
I'm an older person.
Pretty Bird always makes me pull out my personal pieces. I know she likes the ones with
you. Because I love them, because they always move me. Because they're fabulous. There's something that, okay, for those who don't know, though most of you do, when it comes to art of any kind, poetry in particular, if there isn't some semblance of honesty in it, I can't read it. I can't be bothered with it. It doesn't move me. It's a waste of my time. I read poetry. I use poetry to purge all my crap. So I rarely write happy because I keep that to myself. But, you know, I purge. I puke my stuff out there. You know, that's just how I do what I do. So when I read somebody else, I want to by osmosis feel their joy, their pain, their love, their anger. I need it to take me either someplace outside of myself or someplace deep within myself. And words have the power to do that. And Sky is just, when she is writing, like, she writes fantasy stuff like beyond, like she just needs like volumes of storybooks. But when it comes to her personal poetry, I'm constantly crying or constantly wrapped up in warmth. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so, you know, not that every word in a poem has to be remotely true. Usually it is a very minute snapshot of like a series of emotion that once you get it out there, it's, you know, back at the surface and nowhere near as deep and you're good. But so long as there's a hint of truth in it, people will follow you down through the valleys of emotion. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you do it so well, my dear Sky. So having said all that good stuff, you guys are now going to be tasked with listening to me blather on with my poem. And it is up on the board. And this is part of a series that I probably will never stop writing. But anyway. Yes. This is Letters to My Lover, number 12. I think I have like 26, 27, I don't know how many I have. But this is number 12. And it goes like this. I do believe tonight, more than all others, the distance pierces my soul, a deeper depth for each mile apart, 1,000 punctures through. Still, after the red gums black, what is left to course through my emptied veins is naught but you. The very life within me, the very beat of my heart, your sweet breath, my only air. 'Tis love that bridges the distance, but pain flows in rapids beneath. With you, soul soar with angels. Anticipation of your return leads each day as my smile is painted with the memory of your own. Traversing the bridge, a tricky feat on stormy nights. The rain sparkles like diamonds, the moonlight never more beautiful as in their reflection, feeding the river, yet somehow fortifying the bridge. Love is rooted deeply, bound in eternal light to a world tinged in darkness. A beacon within, home is always in sight if just out of reach. With eyes closed in slumber, united in bliss, wrapped in the last time, living for the next time, as much as it could be called living, being stabbed by each of 1,000 miles. End poem.
You do something, you know, every time you write, there's this, you grab me in one way or another, and it's the subtleties that I think that you know, kind of almost go unnoticed, but not, because you have a light hand, you're not heavy-handed, like, I want to call it Elizabethan tint to it. Just it makes it feel a little more aged and timeless than just coming right out and talking about it in a normal way. But you know, it doesn't seem like an affectation when you do it. It seems very natural that it could very easily be overlooked. And, you know, the tis and everything, because it's poetry, and some people expect it, and you know, it's easy to go over the top with that, and hard to restrain yourself. I want to say it's unusual for you to restrain yourself, but that would be probably overstepping a little bit, so I won't say that. or did I just step without saying that? I don't know. But I mean, there's a beauty in the way that you talk about your emotions like that. That just kind of underscores it. And like I said, to me, makes us feel kind of timeless. And the whole, you know, series of love letters idea is kind of brilliant as well, just on its own, and that's just an excerpt, and the way that you can do it so that, you know, each one kind of stands on its own is also a beautiful thought. I think you call it micro poetry, or not you in general. I think that's what they call it, whoever they are. I don't know. It's just one of those things that you know, it adds to the technical beauty of what you do. You know, it's not just, you know, beautiful to look at, but you know, if you start to pick it apart, even, you know, even the underpinnings of it are beautiful, and you know, curse you, woman. Really, I can't decide if you write with a feather or a pen or what, but you know, ultimately it's plasma, damn it, and you know, that's what we're all drawn to. So, you know, it was absolutely stunning. Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, the next time, you know, her line with eyes closed in slumber, united in bliss, wrapped in the last time, living for the next time. I mean, the next time, don't we all? I mean, I'll tell you what I wrote in the comment. The next time, don't we all desire the next time? And the feeling that now knowing that it'll never happen again. And all you have to do for the memory is wait. You wait for the trigger that brings up the memory, so you can feel it. So you can feel it again. Sometimes it's not healthy to do that, but yeah. Wow. Very good.
Thank you. That's awesome.
And Sky, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Yes, and I'm so glad that you have them all in a folder, because now I have some new to stock. I'll be visiting them. This is an excellent piece. Hold on, no, I was on the folder. I need to get back to this now. Where was I? Yeah. Still after the red gum black, what is left course through my empty veins is not but you. I really, really loved that. I love the whole piece, but that stanza just kind of swept me away, and I was just hooked. I loved the passion in this, the longing, the deeper depth for each mile of parts and metaphors I loved as well. I really enjoy when people use internal metaphors, but they also keep a larger external metaphor, which I really enjoyed. You pull it through with the bridges and the distance and the pain flows and rapids beneath. It's just, and then the return of your anticipation, the anticipation in your return leaves each day as my smile is painted. I know I'm just reading the lines, but I really love those two. I just love every line. But I do like that painted smile. And I think that when we think of people that do make a smile, it is almost like that. This is another line I felt really partial to. The rain sparkles like diamonds. The moonlight never more beautiful. I don't know. There was something tender about that. There was something so tender. Like I could see it. I could see those sparkling diamonds. When you're looking up at the sky, you're looking up at that moonlight. And I think there's this intimacy in darkness and looking at the night sky and, you know, perhaps thinking of a lover. And so that stanza particularly was very intimate to me. And, the way you bring the reader all the way through. And I'm excited to read the rest of these, although I don't see a 1. It starts off with 12.
Yes, I don't think I don't know where I know where they are. I know I had blocked off 1 through 10 years ago, on another site because I went to go put them in some stupid nonsense and I just never put them back up. And so when I was pulling them off of another site, I just never went into my archives to pick them up. So I'll have to do that.
Yeah, because I can't start at 12. I'm so demanding.
The nerve.
Like jumping on the story.
Yeah, this is a beautiful, beautiful piece. And, you know, I just want someone to write letters like these to me. So I'm just going to read your poetry and just live vicariously through you, you know. You're right.
Well, thank you.
Excellent work. Thanks so much.
Adam, do you have enough posters to reply?
ditto, 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 ditto. This is effing brilliant. Sky really touched on it where kind of I was going to go. She did it way more eloquently than I'll ever get to do because, like, holy crap. So to use a scene, so there's an image, there's this imagery, you know, that overhang, that is like the main, I guess the scene being painted here, and then all the emotion within, and then we have also, like, the distance is a physical entity, too. I found that it's so painful, you know, with each, and, you know, it's the thought is reprised throughout, you know, but, like, the image of the bridge and the storm and all of this, I'm imagining almost like two towers and an invisible distance, and it painted this, like, real fantastical image in my mind that was, like, playing out as, like, I'm just feeling your pain and absolute longing, and that each mile is another wound almost of the distance. It's brilliant. This is, and I agree. I wish I could have this letters written about me like this, and I will also live vicariously at Sky through these letters.
Well, thank you. That's all fabulous. Hatter, you're on the board, but before you start reading, let's say hello to Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pretty Bird. How are you?
I am fabulous. So we have asked everybody, when you first saw the theme was longing, what did it evoke in you?
He wanted a cup of tea.
Yes, I thought of many things, Pretty Bird. I and my muse went in a direction that was
delicious, but you know, Sunday night,
but not possible to be spoken about outside of Sunday night. Yes.
Your muse was on fire. Let me just tell you.
Stunning.
And so I love that. I love that it took you places and that you were like uninhibited, and I just find that fabulous. Just absolutely fabulous. And Hatter is on the board. So are you ready to read it?
Sure am. You're gonna love this
one. One second, AP, you were gonna say something?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Hatter.
Okay, mine's called Urgelessness. Sort of the same thing. And it goes like this. I found myself without an urge, something I used to long for, an empty place where you once lived. I don't feel it anymore. Words that kill, I prayed to hear so I could run away. My world does tell of a smileless face, and now it's here to stay. Wishing for what has passed, desires on a dinner plate. I sit here wanting familiar things, not knowing that I'm too late. I wish to have an urge for you, but time has cut the line, hanging free with urgelessness, this life that I call mine. I made up a word.
I have to say, you know, I'm wondering if this is what it looks like to actually work through those emotions that are so painful to get to the other side. I'm asking because I haven't gotten to the other side of crap. So, but that's what this feels like. You know, it's, you know, I wish to have an urge for you, but, you know, that ship sailed. So sorry. Yeah, no. And I love that. And then you have, and you were just talking earlier about the smell of turkey and, you know, wishing for what his past desires on a dinner plate. That's where that took me, even though a dinner plate of desires can be many, many things. But there's a certain amount of, it's not even proper sadness. It's almost like complacency or a little bit of apathy or, you know, I'm so tired of being in this pain that, you know what, I'm good. We are fine. This is the new me, you know. The well does not run quite as deep. It does not go quite as high. And that's kind of what happens after, you know, you've been in pain for such a long time that, you know, the either end of the spectrum of emotion kind of shrinks a little more towards the center because it takes a lot to reach those upper echelons of joy because you have to be so vulnerable to the depths of pain. And that's what this kind of brought forth in me. So AP, what are your thoughts on this urgelessness?
Well, it's interesting. I love the word urgelessness. If it doesn't exist, it should.
It's kind of fun, isn't it? I my world does tell of a smileless face, and now it's here to stay. Interesting. I like the way that you approach this, Hatter. It's very, very Hatterish in its construction, I have to say, and it's very Hatterly. That you would make up a word, and I think it's very cool. I think it's a very cute poem.
He's got his own hatchinery.
You know, Hatter, that your line, I don't feel it anymore, just pulled me right into that one poem, and I can never remember crap that I write, but I remember anymore because people made a big deal out of it. If there's enough time at the end, I might have to put that up. But it's funny that exact line just pulled me to that place. That is not a happy place to be, by the way, but it pulled me right there. So, so Adam, what are your thoughts on Hatter's piece?
I'm all for making new words. Who's to say? Who's to say? Anyhow, it works, and it's cool. And I have a question of this image.
It's a drawing.
And I love. I figured it was a unique of yours. Anyhow.
I was going through all my drawings, and I was getting close to showtime, so I just basically hit that one.
It's cool.
So he looks sort of lost. He looks sort of lost and has no urges.
This urgelessness, though. I've kind of been here, and you hope that you can restore the spark, I guess, you know, or even that, it seems impossible in what you're writing here, just carrying on, let's just, and I mean, my world is tell of a smileless face, and now it's here to stay, I almost feel trapped here with you, and I'm not happy about that. I'm not, like, this is really, like, very, the thrill is gone, and I'm not happy with that at all. Great piece, Hatter. Urgelessness.
Thank you. Yeah, nobody wants to suffer.
That is for darn sure. We all do, but nobody wants to. And
in order to love somebody, you got to leave yourself vulnerable. Be willing to do that.
And that's a scary prospect for many. And so some do not allow for that full openness, and some are just full on, here's all of me, and it makes for a unfortunate situation. So, Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I like the idea of making up words, you know. You probably got your own little booklet full of things like this that I think it's great. I really do. I'm like visualizing, you know, in the old cartoons with Wile E. Coyote or whatever, and they freeze frame and then they put the word and the definition underneath, and you know, I'm kind of stuck on the translation of urgelessness. You know, I'm equating it with apathy. You know, I have to put it in terms that kind of are easier to explain. But not, because, you know, that is kind of, you know, direct in what you're saying. But you know, at the same time, it's differently, you know. And you know, I like that idea, because, you know, they say, you know, hate isn't the opposite of love. Apathy is. And it makes me think of that a little bit as well. You know, it's a great representation of a word that now exists. It exists in our worlds now, so not just Hatter's anymore. So you coined it. We'll see if it catches on.
Thank you. You know, it's like urgelessness. Now you all know what I mean, right? But if you try to define it, you're sort of lost. That's weird.
I just don't feel like defining
that. Well, it's definitely something that is a very emotive word to have come up with, so that is fabulous in and of itself. It's a little madness from our very own Hatter. And AP, I put you up on the board if you are prepared to read.
I am. So this... after we had a little discussion, my views sort of had a sort of backed up and came up with this little brevity called Collision, and it goes a little bit like this. I seek you among the crowds that fill the pathway ahead, looking first for the brunette locks that frame your face, which takes me to your cheeks that carry me to your lips. And the taste of your mouth when we find each other. Within the anticipation of that inevitable collision and the knowledge we already have exchanged addresses.
anything.
You see, this is like the opposite end of the spectrum, and it still gets me too. In different places, but it still gets me. You know, I love kind of like how the eye gets drawn or the heart gets drawn or whatever gets drawn from her hair to her face to her cheeks to her lips to the taste of her. Oh, I love that. I just love because you take us right there with you. Like whoever it is that makes us feel that way, I mean, it is just, we might as well be looking at them in our mind's eye as we trace down, you know, the facial features to get to that taste. And there is something about that, you know. It is just beautiful. And then the last verse and the knowledge that we have already exchanged addresses feels like they are going off to be wherever they're going to be, but you know there's still that connection and you've made the effort and you know one day somebody's going to show up at somebody's doorstep. And I absolutely love the idea of that possibility because it's just delicious and it's kind of what poetry is made of, you know, that's like the best poetry. That's like that kind of anticipation, that longing, those bonds, that every little bit from the glance across the room to the time they say goodbye, if they say goodbye, or that eternal whatever, that is everything poetry is made out of, all kind of those human interactions. And I absolutely and loneliness is also an interaction. You know, you're a human too, so loneliness with the one is still an interaction. And because I don't know about you, but I have many different conversations that are multifaceted in my own head. I'm not crazy. But I love this. I just do. Just it takes me to those places, those times where you've had to say goodbye and you kind of soak in everything so that you don't forget it. You want to remember it just as it is. And so that is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts on this collision?
Well, I thought it was gorgeous. You know, the brunette locks? You said brunette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the way that you phrase it, and you know, I didn't want to do you a disservice by misquoting it, but yeah, that was very vivid. For some reason, it made me think of Shirley Temple. I don't know why, but maybe I'm calling you old in a roundabout way. I don't know, but I just enjoyed it. You know, it had a very familiar feel to it, as well as that longing. You know, that was the subject, because. Just the way you describe the object, the girl, the whole scenario was very I keep saying familiar. I don't know why. I guess I'm stuck on
because
that word right now.
Because you inside yourself, because it takes you to the things that you know in those moments that are familiar because you live them. I mean, it's like magic. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Thanks for the save. That's what I was saying.
Thank you.
And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this. It's the first couplet's my favorite. Takes me somewhere I've been before. It was not so much in a. I guess this kind of has more of the tone of a longing, you know, to get there and a joy with that. That first couplet took me somewhere else in another way of when they're gone and you're looking among the crowd still for them. And that's where I went, unfortunately, because this is such like kind of a nice piece where, you know, we're just taking through the looks rather briefly and the inevitable collision, and it will happen. We've exchanged addresses. It's coming in time, right? And it's like the whole thing is almost it's like a dream. From the beginning line, two lines, almost like you imagine coming through an airport or whatever and seeing them across the crowds, and that will soon be so. But those first two lines absolutely drew me into the opposite effect of searching for that lover gone. You still seek them out in the crowd. You still look for them. Anyhow. It was a great
Man, not that he's familiar with crowded airports.
Thanks, Adam.
By the way,
Fun fact, did you know that, this is weird, but men have a keen ability to spot their loved ones in a crowd that, like, is far beyond your average, like I guess the only other comparison would be a woman. Even when it comes to children, men can spot their specific children faster than a woman can. You would think that wouldn't be so, but, you know, see, you know, but, yeah, okay, AP knows. Just fun fact anyways, and I stage left.
See, in Guardian of the Herd, we're responsible for their – it's just a role you take. I can see that, tell you the truth.
And how do you thought?
Strange. Yeah, you know, it's beautifully said. I love how it starts. I see you among the crowds. And like Adam was just saying, Adele has some lyrics in I Set Fire to the Rain. I think it goes, even though I know it's over, I can't help myself but looking for you. Yeah, you can spot. And when you, I can remember a time where I had this beautiful girlfriend and she went on her own way. And I saw her everywhere I went. I thought I saw her everywhere. Like, man, that's not. You know, you're looking, you're looking in cars and like you said, in crowds, and you know she's there, and you keep looking. It's like, man. So it's when you learn to distance yourself from the urges, urgelessness.
You know, I think it's a lovely mix of longing and anticipation that, you know, when the time comes, will be absolutely amazing. So I enjoyed it a great, great deal. And I have Raconteur on the board. So let me know when y'all see it, and I will hit play.
Jesus.
Does that mean you saw it?
I saw it.
Okay, here we go.
Insomnia.
Pretty Bird, I got to go. I'll try calling back in a little bit.
If
only
I could evict you from my dreams until I can wake with you next to me. But the thought of caressing your skin and feeling it ignite against mine prevents me from succumbing to slumber. Growing hunger to taste your lips haunts me, and the thought of tears in your eyes leaves me broken. The consequence of your absence leaves me aching, yearning to have you in my life. Through sunshine and storms, creating memories as our future together unfolds. Fools seek perfection, and I'm foolish enough to believe that you're perfect for me. Blind as I am, I can see things for what they are. Nothing can mask the beauty your soul radiates. There is no rest having everything I've sought just out of reach. Close the distance. Take my outstretched hand. Gaze into my soul. Let me seal our fate with our first kiss. End poem.
Blind as I am, I can see things for what they are. Nothing can mask the beauty of the beauty your soul radiates. How freaking lovely is that? And I love, I've got a poem called "The Consequence of Your Consequences of Your Absence on My Soul." So I love that the consequence of your absence, because there's something about that notion that speaks to me. That it's easy for people to think, you know, they'll never notice I'm gone. They'll never this, they'll never that. But that the visceral remainder of that gaping emotional hole is a very real thing. And so I just love that notion.
And you start with, if only I could evict you from my dreams until I can wake with you next to me. And here's the thing, you know, when you've got these dreams of perfection where you are living the life with the person and you wake up and it's all not real, it's heartbreaking. It'll break your heart every single time you open your eyes. So, you know, that I really enjoy the depth of emotion in this. I truly, truly do. And, but when it's just out of reach, you know, that is some serious longing. And it's pain. It's just pain. Not all longing is truly painful. Sometimes it's a little wistful. It kind of edges these emotions, and then you have those remnants of things. But sometimes the longing cuts you open every single time, and this speaks of that to me. AP, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's really interesting, Pretty Bird, because sometimes when I read a poem, it's almost like I gather three different sorts of thoughts, and I do here. Because to me, there's three poems here. There's three vignettes, and each have their own statement. The first thought that is beautifully started, and then talks about those memories as our future together unfolds. And see, to me, that's one vignette. That's one complete thought. Because then the poem pivots in the next stanza, "Fool seek perfection, and I'm foolish enough to believe that you're perfect for me." That, to me, is a poem on its own. And then the third vignette, "Blind as I am." And for me, the three work together, but they're quite distinct. If it was my poem, I'd actually have, you know, vignette one, vignette two, vignette three, because they all pivot in different ways to talk about this sense of dreams and this sense of what we're looking for out of somebody else. And I think it's really interesting. So that's the way I read the poem.
Thanks, Chris.
I love how you pulled out that little bit of micro-poetry in the middle as a standalone, that one three-line verse as a standalone poem, and I love that. I have a thing for extreme brevities, and you're right, it absolutely does stand by itself. It's something that I could absolutely see making the rounds in Facebook if it was just on a little image, and it would float around and everybody would eat that up. And so I love you kind of focus on, like, you pulled that out in and of itself. That's kind of fabulous. And Adam, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was deeply romantic and well done in that yearning, longing, romantic feeling. I've been kept up by such things, and I totally relate to that. And it's almost, if they are the dream, you want to go, you know, you want to sleep, but then at the same time, you want them to be there when you wake. It's coming from that dream, and the reality is pain. And this is well done. It kind of, like you say, look. Pretty, it kind of skirts the edge a little bit of too painful. Doesn't quite hammer that in a way that, like, you cringe inside. I think it's almost whatever the personal, like, view of the person that reads it, what they would take. Because some would probably just take it for just the pure romance of it, which it has that, absolutely. And but there's a sort of, there's definitely a pain here, too. That's what I get from it. That's what speaks to me.
Thanks, Adam.
Lovely. And Adam, you are up next. You're on the board.
Oh, goodness. All right. This was a whole thing. So I was going to do one piece. I made a piece. I was like, I wanted to share this, a different piece that I gave a crap about, and then I decided I was going to write one. Did that, and then I thought, no, I'm going to do a song, which just didn't come out right. In the end, that is not the one I'm going to do.
going to do a different one, which I had it probably needs to be refreshed or something to be there proper. I know. I'm such a heck to deal with sometimes.
Okay.
Here, let me go ahead and post it in there as it
has
changed. Okay. I'm an absolute pain in the neck.
You're good.
This is just something very personal. So, but one crumpled thing. If I could leave but one crumpled thing in the wake of my unraveling, if I could leave without a stain upon your memory, without need for long-winded soliloquy, if I could be but brevity, rather than the inky smudged blots of coagulated misery, these crumpled things of me, I'd toss myself aside with only you in mind. Burn another page. Thousands have been set ablaze, ashes of my verse. If I could be but anything, I'd never want to speak. It would be a kindly kept memory, something you fetched from the trash heap of me, kept secretly. Dream, I do. Wish, I do. Only wishes and dreams are but stitches to the water. Forever they get lost in the drifting. To be anything more than this breathing breath that strains to breathe, I'd rather be the air used in your voice as you spoke the words of this but one crumpled thing. And peace.
That is lovely. You have all these phrases in here, in the wake of my unraveling, which is very, very visual and very visceral and very painful. It's like in the grandness of you, this small thing is all that there is. And I love that. It's a very kind of deep fog kind of pain where you can't help but breathe it in. There's no escaping it. It just, you wear it on your skin, and you absolutely did a beautiful job pulling us into that place. As it burned another page, thousands have been set ablaze, ashes of my verse. And when you put yourself, all of you, out on paper, when you put it in ink, it's a very powerful thing to have them turn to ash, all those little pieces if you left in ink on a page. So I absolutely love this. I truly, truly do. I'm going to go ahead and save this now. And AP, what are your thoughts?
I think this is a classic piece that underscores the problem with autorank, because this piece will get mauled by autorank because it uses repetition, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with using repetition, because what it does is that if you repeat a word in the phrase, it often takes you to a different place, and if you use that phrase, it doesn't read as if you've been there before. It reads fresh every time if it moves the reader along. And I think what you do is that somehow you use repetition to get to a point where you find that deeper part of yourself, and then you get really interesting words and phrases. Only wishes and dreams are but stitches to the water. Forever they get lost in the drifting. That line in and itself makes absolutely no sense, but it's absolutely brilliant. And it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense, but it actually paints a brilliant picture. And that's what great poetry is about. It's about painting that picture, and however you get there, you've just got to keep going.
Thanks,
absolutely.
I appreciate that.
And Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
Hang on. Circle back.
And let's say hello to Deb. How you doing, Deb?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Did you get a chance to listen to or read Adam's poem?
I was just reading it as I signed in. It's the one, but one crumbled thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I toss myself aside with only you in mind. Burn another page. Thousands have been set ablaze, ashes of my birth. I like that, and I like dream. Oh, I do. Wish. Oh, I do. Only wishes and dreams are but stitches in the water forever. They get lost in the drifting. I think this came out excellent.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Are you ready, Rack?
Yeah. Sorry. This is easily one of my favorite things that you've written. I thought it was gorgeous, Adam. I like the thought. I like the execution of it. It's without even realizing that there's a repetition in it, the way that you did it, it was lovely.
Absolutely. And before you read, Deb, I already have you on the board. What do we have coming up?
We have Tic-Mac Poe tomorrow at 11. We have Dreams Saturday at 10 p.m. And on Monday at 10 p.m. as well, we have a new artist and word banks to help tickle all five senses. So that's the next few in a row.
Awesome.
Looking forward to those.
Dreams are always so interesting because that can take somebody so many different places. It'll be real fun to see what the poems will be for Saturday. That is fabulous. And you are up, Miss Beverly.
Okay, doll. Thank you. All right, this is called As the Longing Commands Your Attention. And here we go. It tugs at you, draws you in, and captures you. Find it in that voice inside the head, whispering, the voice that races the pulse, calling, luring you in as palms sweat from the heat it coaxes. Find it in the burning throb, that ache tied to the pining for more. And in the building hunger as it cajoles and rivets. It is an itch that drives you, and the flutter in the stomach ripping you, then absorbing into the blood and flowing in the veins. It's a thirst you ache to quench. So just find it and pull.
Oh, this speaks of vampires to me. And I don't mean vampires like, I mean, well, yes, I do. I mean, because to me, they are Prince Charming. They are this, all the darkness and romance, that hunger, that thing you can't live without. And that's, and I love that. And I understand that this is, you know, it tugs at you, draws you in, then captures you, find it. And that could be anything. It could be anything that ignites your passion, whether it is something creative or whatever it may be. But for me, this aching to be quenched. You know, I am all things desire ridden, and vampires are sexy as hell. I ain't gonna lie. So you know, if I were to ever be a demon, it would be that. And so I love that it took me there. I love that it took me to all these innocent places, but it landed right there in the sweet spot. So I really appreciated that. And
And I loved your the way you use line breaks in here, because it's like it's its own punctuation. And so it forces you to read it, you know, it then captures you with that pause. Find it like it's a command, a nice gentle nudge to do what you need to be doing and fulfill whatever your destiny is. So I absolutely appreciate that. And we have a caller, 303.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. 303, may I ask who's calling?
Speaking of sweet spots.
Hello, oh, my goodness. Hello. I just put you up on the board. How? That's like perfect flipping timing. And I'm sorry.
Are you kidding?
No, I just put you up because I was going to read you next. That is fabulous. So let me get comments from his dad. AP, what are your thoughts?
I would like this, Deb. I like this because often in longing, there's these sort of subtle threads that sort of call at you, and a subtlety to the past and the longing, and it just was something you couldn't get away from, but it was just subtly eating away at you, and I just really like the way the poem came together.
Thank you so much.
And Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful. Something about that sense of longing that you bring up, you know, and you're related to that quenching of the thirst. That was a perfect example, and you know, it accentuated the beauty of what you were saying.
Thank you, Rack.
And Adam, what did you think of Deb's piece?
I thought it was amazing. That I felt like there was kind of touches on what you said. Pretty, it almost embodies, and kind of what AP said, it kind of embodies longing or hunger as an entity all of its own. It almost feels like the embodiment of that, as if it were a muse, you know, the way we think of the muse that comes upon us, almost in that aspect, like it could be another entity all of itself that kind of tickles you along in your ear and your head and to whatever that may be, whatever that would be that you long for, hunger for, yearn for. Pretty awesome, really, in that idea. I think it kind of comes through because it is a little amorphous or vague, and, you know, you pull from it what you want to believe it is, you know, and that's brilliant to allow it to be interpreted. You know, that's good. That's also, you know, good poetry is something like that. And that's what I got from it. I felt the embodiment of longing or hunger.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
You know, there's a part in your poem, Deb, where it's find it in the burning throb, that ache tied to the pining for more, and luring you as palm sweat from the heat it coaxes. And it's almost, there is a fear when you first start to do things that you know you want to do, but you don't know if you can because you haven't tried it, or you don't know if you're good enough, and you have to, like, put yourself out there. And that almost feels like when you push through that, and I'm going to just equate it to a tiny bit of stage fright, even though that's not, you know, accurate, but it's almost like you push through to then, you know, find room enough on the other side of that, where your feet are where they need to be and your wings can finally spread. And I kind of really, really love the notion of that. And Miss Sweet, did you get a chance to read it or listen?
No, unfortunately, I did not. I literally walked out of the bowling alley into my car, down the street, and I'm talking to you.
Well, it was fabulous, and you will love it. But I do have you on the board because, you know, you're all kinds of perfect timing. So did you want me to read it, or are you able to read it? I'm assuming you called to read it.
I can read it. I didn't know if it was read. I just called to see how everybody was. But perfect timing, unbelievably. So I can read it.
Yes, please.
When it comes, you're all things red.
This is Tears Called Rain. How do I break the tick-tock of time? Stop the sunset and play in the sunshine. Can I keep our giggles stored in a jar? Keep memories of joy, drop thoughts that scar. Why does death reach for my lover's hand? No more grain swirls from the eyes of the sandman. Does rage of a broken heart stop the pain? Can I wash away the anger? Can I wash the anger out to these tears called rain? And cold.
You know, I love a good reverie, and I love how your couplets are questions and answers, you know, and how they're like, how do I reverse the clock? And then, you know, in order to be able to play in the sun, I love dropping the scars, you know. Lord, if you find out the trick to that, please clue me in, because I clench them suckers in my fist. I try to wash them off, but then I'm like, oh, wait, but I need that just a little bit longer, and I don't, and I know this, but it drives me nuts. So I love the idea. Can I just drop these? Because, they're poison is what they are. And where is the jar? Was it in there? That's the same one. Can I keep our giggles stored in a jar? And that reminded me of catching fireflies as a kid, where with all the good things, they were magic. And it just absolutely took me back to that. And how wonderful would it be if we can then take all the good things, the belly laughs, the all those little moments that we take for granted until there aren't any of them left. If we can just keep bits and pieces of those to revisit in all the reality of them, that would be just joyous. There's a lot in here, and this weighs on me a great deal. You know, does rage of a broken heart stop the pain? No, it doesn't, because pain is a persistent bitch, is what that is. I'm just putting that out there. And so, Adam, what are your thoughts on this painful rain?
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
Oh, you're so welcome, my dear.
This is brilliant and very. It really just has me thinking in a lot of ways, you know, just in reflection, you know, and taking me to places where I didn't necessarily want to go in my own life and mind, but it's all right, you know, it's just. These questions with these answers. What an interesting form this is. Like, so cool. Anyhow, why
I think it's...
now does death reach for my lover's hand? And then the next line, no more grains flow from eyes of the sandman. The dreams are no more. There's no more dreams. You know, when you lose somebody, that's... And this is just this is so beautiful in its pain.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Adam.
There is something to be said in 8 lines to pull people, you know, to be able to pull people into their own painful memories. See, poetry is magic. I will say it as often as I need to. It is just a fabulous, fabulous medium of an outlet of creativity. And AP, what are your thoughts?
It's interesting, isn't it? Hi, sweet. I think questions actually pull people into poems if you use them effectively, because what they do is that they take you to pause and they take you to your own experience, and at the end of the day that's what you're trying to get from people. And so it's a very elegant little brevity, and it uses those questions really well.
And Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
Thank you, AP.
I think she's sneaky, the way that she could write about losing someone and make you wonder if she lost them because they passed or if she lost them because they kind of left her life for a different reason. So there's a brilliance in that, and I want your jar to overflow. It was lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so I am going to put, and I think we went through all of our poems for tonight, which is awesome. So I'm going to put another one up for me. I have a shorter one, then I have a longer one that I could put up. Sweet, your choice. I'm just putting you on the spot.
The sweet spot.
Sorry, what was that?
Short or long?
I'm sorry. Yeah, what do you need, Pretty Bird?
I just need you to pick short poem or long poem. Just I'm going to put one up. Just which one do you prefer?
Oh, okay. Before you are going to put me on the spot. Go with the long poem.
All right. This one, there was a line in Hatter's poem earlier that said, I don't feel it anymore, or something like that, which reminded me of this poem of mine. And so I'm putting it up there because I've got the time to do it, so here it is. This is Anymore. I don't miss you anymore. The shadows are so engulfing that all I can do is throw words at them by the thousands and try to break free. Maybe my words will crack the sun open. Maybe I can pick them up off the floor and dry my tears. I can pretend that the shadows don't follow me, that they're not there as I walk on a sunny afternoon. My eyes open, watching the rest of the world smile. I'm tired of pretending that I don't miss you. I don't miss the way you touched me while I was sleeping, the way your fingers would push my hair over my ears so you could watch my face. I don't miss you. I sit in silence, listening to the sounds you used to make when you would make me coffee before I would get up. I miss the smell of you on my sheets, but it's been so long that I don't even know what it is that I'm missing. I miss that smile. It haunts my dreams because it's the only place that I know what happiness feels like, felt like. But I go through every motion of every day with a smile on my face, hoping that one day if I paint it on hard enough, it'll stick. So again, I throw words at the world, and I paint pictures that I can't possibly convey in the depth of which they are stabbing me. But if I pull the words out of my veins where you left them, empty, it might kill me. I might bleed them all at once with no way to stop them. Your hand over my heart healed everything temporarily, and now I am diseased flesh with holes where feelings should be. I am the smell of lies and perfidy. I am everything I hate about you. So I can't miss you. So if I miss the way you hurt me, I'll never be whole. If I miss the gaping wounds you left when you pulled your love out of my skin, what does that say about me? So I don't miss you. I don't miss you. It's not in the ink I bleed with. It's not in the images in my head. It's not in my own reflection. I don't miss you anymore. End poem.
Let me tell you something. Oh, my gosh. There's so much in here I've been talking about. And now I'm diseased flesh with holes where feeling should be and the smell and lies you perceive. I am everything I hate about you, so I can't watch you. If I miss the way you hurt me, if I miss the gaping wound, your love. I got to tell you, I think that's just brilliant, and it literally takes every feeling you have and just drains it. It drains as a human being. It's short, callous. You put words together and make people feel your pain. The pain of a poem is talent that I had to put in words through verbiage, through teardrops. This is like taking crystal frozen teardrops and letting them slice down someone's face.
wow. Miracles in the face of insanity. I'm not sure who's still with us, but I will start with, if Adam's with us, let's start with him.
Yeah, I'm still here. This was absolutely heart-wrenching, but I like the strength you're finding throughout it, but it's like, as we said, it's so draining by the time you get there, and there's this fear of, in it too, and your reading of it was just brilliant. It has a way of picking up and moving at times where you want it to, and it in of itself conveys the idea of the poem and the reading. Together they connect in that way. That's very interesting. I love this 100% top to bottom. This is just awesome.
Thank you so much. And we have Rack is the only one left with us.
I'm the
All
only
right,
one left.
Rack, give me your synopsis, sir.
Oh man, I love when you do things like this. To me, it's almost like an internal dialogue trying to convince yourself. And posing the question.
I need a McDouble bundle. Yeah, I need a let's do a 2C, the quarter pounder.
Who's ordering food?
What happened there?
That wasn't my comment.
and then I need.
I mean, you know, I'm still a fanboy, so
which I absolutely appreciate. And you're right; it is that trying to convince yourself where you know you get so far, but you know it's still under your skin. The one thing about this particular poem, it's not like any of the other poems that I've written. I was actually, I decided to talk to myself. And so I was just recording. I was actually in the bathroom, but we won't tell anybody. And I had my phone, and I kind of hit record, and I was like, well, let's see what comes out of my face. And that's an exact transcription of that. Like, there were no changes at all, and it was very organic and very heartbreaking, actually. It was not easy to listen to, much less, you know, transcribe.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But anyways, that reminded me, because Hatter had a line in his poem, something about I don't miss you anymore or I won't something anymore, and it took me to that place. And we actually have 6 minutes left, so I'm going to be all kinds of self-indulgent and put the other one up anyway because it's short. And that way nobody has to go looking for other things or whatnot. So we'll just put this here.
I wouldn't have to look.
You're funny. And so this is I Want You To. And then that will be the end of the show. And I never have extra time. So, you know, look at that. I'm a little excited. So not that this is extra time. We're literally like, you know, 7 minutes out. But still.
Shut up and read.
Yes, sir. Mr. Man, this is I Want You To, and it goes like this. Love me like that poem you wrote, and keep writing every time your eyes close through every sigh that escapes your thought. Love me like that warrior in words just out of reach but close enough to leech through my skin, stroking my heart with each stroke of your pen. Love me like it fills your lungs and overflows from your being beyond your control, where all you can do is look at the page and wonder how it got stained in emotion. Love me hard, like there's no other life, like every love before was a lie and you scribed the only truth. Love me like that one that never got away, that you feel as strongly from a distance as you do beneath their breath. Love me like that moment you knew there could never be anyone else painted into your words. I want you to love me like that. And Paul.
I do.
Yeah. And someone loved me like that? My God. Again, I don't know how you write the way you write. You just went from super sad, cut me with a crisp of glass, to just love me. Like the softest woman on the planet, but love me hard, please. I mean, you have this ability, again,
just you give it to us, I don't know, just draw it out and make us want to be in the presence of whatever you're dealing. Can you just let us have a little bit of that? Brilliant again, my darling.
I do not relinquish my pain to anyone. It is mine, damn it. But,
sorry, I took some of it and drank it, like the poison apples.
There we go. Well, at least I'm in good company. Thank you. You're awesome.
That's right. And who's ever in the studio, please make a comment.
Screw trying to figure out who's here. Just open your yap and say something.
Yeah.
Tell Pretty Bird how brilliant she is again, because, you know, this is, wow. I don't know if I could say much more than, oh, look, it's a palindrome. Wow. Sorry.
It's not a palindrome.
Wow.
Is that what you said?
Yes, I said, look, it's a palindrome. Wow. Wow.
Oh, wow. Oh, my Lord. My brain is just not with me. Okay, that's funny.
Too slick for my own good. Adam, say something.
Something.
OMG.
No, this is the first thing I read, like, way earlier today. Loved it and then pinned it. Now I've pinned the love letter 12 and that last one you just read. I got to make you a folder because you're eating up my board. Anyhow, yes, you're special, but like all my friends are very talented. I love them and I love having their work, you know, be accessed through me for someone who might not know you. This is just a lovely love poem. Like it's the kind of shit that makes you just angry and wish, you know, I don't know. Love is making me angry tonight. I don't know why. Angry
because
for other people.
It's unfair.
Angry for myself. And it's just, I'm just going to read my stupid comments. So this will help me. God, I so want to be loved and wanted and written about in these ways you describe. Wow. A dream. A fantasy. I'm sure I'll never know. Beautiful. Exclamation point. So beautiful.
All right. That's awesome. And I appreciate it. You know, y'all sitting there, I'm just pouring my crap out on you. But you guys are fabulous, and and I'm thrilled that you guys could hang out with me. And sweet, you're awesome. You're driving in your car, ordering some food. You're not even home yet, and you called me anyway. So you just made my night. So thank you so very, very much. You guys are awesome.
You're welcome.
And with that, I'm going to say good night. So good night, y'all. I'll see you guys next time.
Good night,
darling.
Good night.
Thank you for your time. Goodbye.